Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're jumping into a topic you might have heard about: Achilles tendon ruptures.
That's right.
Think of this as your quick guide to really understanding this injury. Maybe it affects you, someone you know, or maybe you're just curious. All our info today is drawn from orthodeducation.com, great free resource for this kind of stuff, musculoskeletal conditions.
Yeah, it's very comprehensive.
So the Achilles tendon. We're talking about the biggest, strongest tendon in the whole body.
Absolutely. It's crucial.
It's basically the cable linking your calf muscles down to your heel bone. It gives you that push-off power when you walk, run, jump.
It handles incredible forces.
Right. Like 2 or 3 times your body weight just walking around.
And way more, maybe 3 to 6 times, sometimes even higher if you're running or jumping. It's amazing, really.
Wow. Okay, so our goal today, get a solid understanding of these ruptures. Who gets them? How it happens, how doctors spot them, and what the treatment options look like.
Exactly. We're looking at a really common injury, particularly for, you know, active people.
Okay.
Typically, we see it in athletic folks, maybe in their 30s, 40s, early 50s.
Okay.
But, and this is important for you to know, no age group is totally immune. We do see another smaller group affected, often in their 70s or 80s.
So more common in that active middle age, but it can happen basically any time. How does it usually, well, happen? Is it just wear and tear that suddenly gives?
That's a good point. It's not usually just a slow fraying. While, yeah, the tendon can weaken and get stiffer over time, you know, repetitive strain, maybe the body's repair isn't keeping up perfectly, the actual rupture, the break, almost always happens because of a sudden, pretty forceful event.
Okay, so maybe it's a bit vulnerable already, but something specific triggers it.
Exactly. Think of it like maybe tiny little damages, micro tears have built up that the body couldn't quite fix, changing the tendon structure a bit.
Gotcha. So what's the actual mechanism when it tears?
Well, what's really interesting is it often tears under a really high load, especially during something called eccentric loading.
Eccentric loading.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's when your calf muscle is contracting hard, trying to shorten, but at the exact same moment, your ankle is being forced upwards, stretching the Achilles tendon out.
Ah, so the muscle's pulling one way while the joint is forcing the tendon the other way.
Precisely. That simultaneous pull in opposite directions.
Yeah.
That's often the breaking point. Understanding that eccentric load is key because it's not just about raw strength. It's about managing force while the tendon is lengthening.
That sounds like a recipe for disaster. Can you give some examples, like what activities?
Oh, sure. Think about planting your foot hard and changing direction quickly, like in tennis or basketball.
Right.
Or that powerful first push when you start sprinting, stopping really suddenly, or even just jumping up and then landing.
Landing, yeah.
It's that unexpected massive strain that just overloads it, kind of like stretching a rubber band too far, too fast, and it just snaps.
Ouch. Okay, that makes a picture. What does it actually feel like when that snap happens?
Most people describe a really sudden, very sharp, intense pain right in the back of the lower leg. And a really common thing you hear is people saying it felt like they got kicked or hit really hard in the calf. Sometimes they even like turn around to see who did it.
Wow, that dramatic, like a physical blow.
Exactly.
Any other symptoms that usually go along with that?
Yeah, you'll almost always see swelling pretty quickly. And then maybe over the next few days, some bruising, discoloration down there. But interestingly, the initial pain level can actually vary quite a bit. Some people say it wasn't that intensely painful right at first, while others have really significant ongoing discomfort.
That's surprising that the pain isn't always off the charts immediately. What about walking? Can people still walk on it?
Well, some might be able to put some weight on it, maybe limp quite badly, but it's usually really difficult and painful.
Right.
And it's important for you to realize complete ruptures where the tendon tears all the way through are way, way more common than just partial tears.
Okay, so if someone feels pain back there, how do they know if it's this, a rupture, versus maybe something less severe like tendonitis?
That's a critical question, definitely. Because other things can cause pain in that same area. Achilles tendonitis, which is inflammation, or even a tear in the calf muscle itself, the gastrocnemius, near where it connects. They can feel similar.
So you can't always tell just from the feeling?
No, not reliably. That's exactly why you need a proper diagnosis from a healthcare professional, ideally someone like an orthopedic specialist who deals with these things regularly.
Makes sense. And just a quick reminder for you listening, we're pulling this info on Achilles ruptures from Ortho Education. It's It's a free peer-reviewed site you can find at www.orthoeducation.com.
Great resource.
Okay, so you suspect an Achilles rupture, you go see a doctor. How do they actually diagnose it? It's got to be more than just listening to your story, right?
Absolutely. The diagnosis, for an acute rupture anyway, is mostly based on a good clinical examination. The doctor will look closely at your leg and ankle.
And x-rays. People always think x-rays for injuries.
Right, but x-rays actually aren't very helpful here. They show bones. And the ankle bones usually look totally normal with an Achilles rupture.
Okay, so x-rays are more to make sure you didn't break a bone at the same time, maybe.
Exactly. Rule out other things. For the Achilles itself, the physical exam is key.
What specifically are they looking for or feeling for?
Well, one thing is often a palpable defect. The doctor will gently feel along the tendon's path, and often they can literally feel a gap, like an indentation where the tendon is torn.
You can feel the break. Wow.
Sometimes, yeah. But the really crucial test is usually the Thompson test.
The Thompson test. Okay, how does that work?
So for this test, you'd lie face down on the exam table with your feet hanging off the edge.
Right.
The doctor then squeezes your calf muscle. Now, if your Achilles is intact, squeezing the calf automatically makes your foot point downwards plantar flexion, like pressing a gas pedal.
Okay.
But if the tendon is completely ruptured, squeezing that same calf muscle does nothing. The foot just stays floppy, doesn't move downwards. Ah, because the connection's broken.
Exactly. That lack of movement is a very strong sign of a complete rupture.
That sounds pretty clear cut. But wait, you said earlier some people can still move their foot a bit. Why doesn't that rule out a rupture?
Yeah, that's a really important point, and it trips people up sometimes. Even with a totally torn Achilles, you might still be able to move your foot up and down a little bit while you're sitting there.
How?
Because there are other smaller muscles in your lower leg, like the tibialis posterior, the peroneal muscles, that also help move the foot and ankle, especially side to side and flexing the toes down a bit.
Okay.
But the Achilles is the main powerhouse for that strong push-off, for really pointing your foot hard downwards. Those other muscles can't replicate that force.
Got it. So some minor movement is possible, but not the real power movement. Are there other quick tests?
Yeah, sometimes they'll do what's called the STAMP test. It stands for Standing on Toes Assessment Maneuver Procedure.
Catchy name.
Huh, yeah. Basically, they just ask you to try and stand up on the tiptoes of just the injured leg. And if it's ruptured?
It'll likely be either incredibly difficult or totally impossible to hold for more than a second, if at all.
Okay, another clear sign then. What about, like, feeling in the foot or blood flow? Does the rupture affect those?
Generally, no. The nerves and blood vessels are usually separate from the tendon itself. So your sensation and circulation should be fine. The injury is really focused on that tendon tissue.
So the hands-on exam sounds like it's usually enough to figure it out, at least initially. What about other imaging, like ultrasound or MRI? When do those come in?
Good question. While that clinical exam is often enough for a straightforward, fresh rupture, ultrasound, or MRI, can definitely show the tear clearly.
So why not just do one of those always?
They're more useful if the exam isn't totally clear-cut. Maybe there's massive swelling making it hard to feel things.
Okay.
Or if they suspect it might be a partial tear, not a complete one.
Yeah.
Or if it's more of a chronic, long-standing Achilles issue where the diagnosis isn't obvious. For a typical acute rupture, they often aren't strictly necessary just for the diagnosis.
Right. So the exam is usually step one and often tells the whole story. Okay, diagnosis made. What happens next? What are the treatment options?
Basically, there are two main paths. Non-operative treatment. So no surgery and operative treatment, which means surgery to repair it.
Okay.
And interestingly, some of the more recent studies suggest that for certain people, the long-term results from both approaches can actually be pretty similar.
Really? Similar outcomes with or without surgery?
In some patient groups, yeah. But the decision on which way to go really has to be tailored to the individual, you know, considering their age, activity level, overall health, what the demands on their ankle are, and the pros and cons of each method. Like, for you, if you're moderately active, how do you balance maybe a slightly faster surgical recovery versus avoiding surgical risks? It's a discussion.
That's a big decision then.
Yep.
But you mentioned earlier, whichever way you go, it has to be treated, right?
Right.
Why is that so vital? Won't it just sort of scar down on its own?
Oh, it's absolutely crucial to treat it properly. If you just leave a ruptured Achilles completely alone, while the torn ends won't heal together in the right position,
right,
you'll almost certainly end up with significant permanent weakness in that calf muscle. You'll walk with a noticeable limp. And often you get secondary problems, issues in your knee, hip, even your back, because your whole way of moving is thrown off.
And fixing that later is harder.
Much harder, yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to fix a neglected rupture months or years down the line is a much bigger challenge than treating it properly right away.
Okay, message received. Get it treated. Let's talk about the non-operative way first. What does that look like?
So non-operative treatment is all about getting those torn tendon ends close together so they can heal. We do that by positioning your foot pointed downwards. We call that Aquinas.
Pointing the toes down.
Exactly. And then we hold it there. Usually this means immobilizing your leg in a special walking boot, a cam walker boot, often with little wedges or heel lifts inside to keep that toes down angle. Sometimes a traditional cast is used too.
How long are you stuck like that?
Typically, that initial immobilization period where you're not putting full weight on it lasts around 6 weeks, maybe a bit more or less, depending on the protocol. After that, you gradually start putting more weight through it, still in the boot or brace, for another period.
6 weeks plus with your foot stuck pointing down sounds restrictive. Is that always the way?
Well, there's definitely been a shift towards more, let's say, aggressive or functional rehab protocols, even with non-op treatment.
Meaning
some protocols allow for earlier but very controlled weight bearing and maybe some gentle, controlled downward motion of the foot quite early on, even within the first few weeks.
So not totally rigid for the whole time.
Right. The idea is to find that balance, protect the healing tendon, but also try to limit the stiffness and muscle wasting that comes with being completely immobilized for ages.
That makes sense, trying to keep things moving a bit.
Mm-hmm.
How do doctors know if it's actually healing okay without surgery?
That's key. Monitoring is crucial during non-op treatment. Regular checkups with the doctor or physical therapist are important. They'll check for tenderness, swelling, how the tendon feels.
Okay.
And sometimes they might use ultrasound imaging periodically. That gives a direct look at the tendon ends, lets them see if the gap is closing nicely, how the healing tissue looks.
And if it's not healing well, if there's still a big gap.
That's when they might have to reconsider surgery, even if the initial plan was non-operative. If it looks like it's not healing properly or the gap is too wide, surgery might become the better option.
Got it. You mentioned formal protocols for non-op. What's the main goal there?
These modern protocols are really structured. They aim to maximize the chances of good healing by keeping those tendon ends together, but also really focus on getting the calf muscle working again through carefully progressed early controlled motion and weight bearing. And honestly, when these protocols are followed well, the results reported can be excellent.
So what's the biggest plus for choosing non-operative? Why go this route?
The number one advantage is pretty simple. No surgery means no surgical incision.
Right.
And that means zero risk of surgical site complications like wound healing problems, skin breakdown, or infection. That can be a really big deal for certain patients.
Who specifically would benefit most from avoiding those surgical risks?
Primarily people with health conditions that might make healing tricky. Think diabetes, peripheral vascular disease, poor circulation, or people who are heavy smokers.
Yeah.
These things significantly increase the risk of wound issues, infection after surgery. For them, non-op might be much safer.
Okay, that's a major consideration.
Mm-hmm.
So avoiding surgical risk is the big pro. What about the cons? What are the main downsides of non-operative treatment?
The main one tends to be a potentially slower overall recovery time compared to having surgery.
It takes longer to get back to normal.
Generally, yes. You also have to think about the impact of being immobilized for that extended period, how it affects work, daily life, activities.
Mm-hmm.
And based on the current evidence, it looks like the risk of the tendon re-rupturing, tearing again later on, might be somewhat higher with non-operative treatment.
Higher chance of it happening again.
It appears so, yeah. Maybe in the range of 8 to 12% for non-op versus lower rates often quoted for surgery.
Okay, so it's a trade-off. Avoid surgery risks, but maybe slower recovery and a bit higher re-rupture risk. Now let's flip to the other side. Operative treatment. What actually happens in the surgery?
Right. So operative treatment means the surgeon makes an incision, usually vertically, over the back of your ankle where the rupture is.
Okay.
They carefully find the torn ends of the Achilles tendon, clean them up a bit if needed, bring those ends together, and then stitch them securely back together using strong suture material.
Just sew it end to end?
Essentially, yes. The goal is to restore the tendon's continuity and create a strong repair that can eventually handle those forces again as it heals.
Are there different ways of doing the surgery itself? Different techniques?
Yeah, there are a couple of main approaches. The traditional way is an open repair with a standard length incision that lets the surgeon see the whole torn area really well.
Yeah.
Then there are also mini-incision or percutaneous techniques. These use much smaller incisions, and the surgeon uses special tools or jigs to pass the sutures and tie the ends together with less direct visualization.
Any advantage to the mini-incision?
Potentially fewer wound healing problems or infections because the incision is smaller, but there might be a slightly higher risk of accidentally irritating or injuring a nearby sensory nerve, the sural nerve, because the surgeon can't see it as clearly.
Another trade-off even within surgery.
Yeah.
So overall, what are the big advantages of choosing surgery for an Achilles rupture?
Several potential pluses. A major one is often a faster overall recovery timeline and potentially a quicker return to higher level activities like sports.
Faster rehab.
Generally, yes. After surgery, patients can often start moving their ankle earlier, which helps fight stiffness, regain motion faster, and allows for a more sort of aggressive rehab program sooner.
Right.
And like we mentioned, the re-rupture rate after surgery seems to be lower, usually reported somewhere in the 2 to 5% range, compared to that higher rate sometimes seen with non-op.
So faster recovery, maybe back to sports quicker, and less chance of it tearing again. Those sound pretty compelling, especially for active people.
Hmm.
What about the downsides, the risks of surgery?
The main disadvantages are really the potential complications directly related to having an operation.
Like infection.
Exactly. Wound healing problems are probably the most common concern. The skin over the Achilles is thin, doesn't have the best blood supply. So issues like the incision not healing well, skin breakdown, or developing an infection, even a deep infection, are real risks.
Okay.
There's also the possibility of developing a scar that's thick, sensitive, or painful. And as I mentioned, especially with mini incisions, but possible even with open surgery, there's a small risk of nerve irritation or injury.
Those are definitely serious things to weigh up.
Mm-hmm.
After the surgery, what's recovery like? Is it just waiting for the stitches to heal?
Oh, absolutely not. Rehab is just as critical after surgery as it is with non-operative treatment, maybe even more so in some ways, because you're trying to optimize the surgical repair.
So lots of physical therapy.
Yes, definitely. A structured, supervised program with a physical therapist is essential. They guide you through gradually regaining your range of motion, then building back strength, balance, proprioception, that sense of where your foot is in space.
How long does that whole process take, typically?
It's a long haul. It requires real commitment from the patient. Getting back to, you know, full unrestricted activity, especially impact sports, can easily take 8 to 12 months, sometimes even longer.
Wow, nearly a year.
It's a significant recovery. And again, just want to mention, for more detailed info on all these treatment options, surgery, non-surgery, the rehab phases, check out orthoeducation.com.
Great reminder. So it's clear that whichever path you choose, it's a major injury with a lengthy recovery. Before we wrap up, maybe we should quickly recap some of those key terms we've used just to make sure they stick.
Excellent idea. Let's start with the Achilles tendon itself again.
Okay.
So remember, biggest, strongest tendon connects calf muscle to heel bone. Absolutely vital for that push-off power in walking, running, jumping. Knowing how much force it handles helps you appreciate why a rupture is such a big deal.
Right. And that term eccentric loading came up a lot. Can you define that one more time? Why is it so important?
Sure. Eccentric loading, that's when your calf muscle is contracting, trying to shorten, while the Achilles tendon is simultaneously being stretched or lengthened because your ankle is bending upwards fast.
The opposing forces.
Exactly. That's the most common scenario for the rupture to happen. Understanding that mechanism really clarifies how these injuries often occur during seemingly normal activities.
Makes sense. And the Thompson test.
Yeah.
Why is that so diagnostic?
Right. The Thompson test. Simple physical exam maneuver. Squeeze the calf. Watch the foot. If the foot doesn't point down, plantar flex like it should.
The connection is likely broken.
Precisely. It's a very reliable way to clinically demonstrate that loss of connection between the calf muscle and the heel, pointing strongly towards a complete rupture. Emphasizes how important that hands-on exam is.
Definitely. Then we had the two main treatment routes. First, non-operative treatment. Can you take away there?
Non-operative means using immobilization like a boot or cast, often with the foot pointed down initially, combined with careful rehab to let the tendon heal naturally without surgery. Big plus, avoid surgical risks. Potential minus, might be slower recovery.
Got it. And finally, operative treatment. The nutshell version.
Operative treatment is surgically repairing the tear. Stitching the tendon ends back together, potential benefits, often faster recovery, possibly lower re-rupture risk, But it comes with the inherent risks of any surgery, like infection or wound issues.
Fantastic recap. That really helps pull it all together.
And just to reiterate, all this discussion about Achilles tendon ruptures draws from the excellent resources over at OrthoEducation. That's www.orthoeducation.com. And please remember, this deep dive is for your general knowledge. If you have an injury or any health concerns, you absolutely need to see a qualified healthcare professional for advice specific to you.
Absolutely. And to leave you with something to think about, considering how active so many of us want to stay throughout our lives, how do you think future advances, maybe in both non-surgical rehab and surgical techniques, might change this? Could they further speed up recovery or improve those long-term outcomes even more after an Achilles rupture?